listeners, my name is Arusha Veed, and you're listening to the Slice of Orange, North Orange County podcast. Slice of Orange is a podcast that dissects politics in North Orange County. This election season, our team will interview candidates on NOC's ballot, explain propositions and ballot measures, and discuss general election trends. Our goal is to increase civic knowledge in the public and introduce you to ways of getting involved. My name is Arush Naveed, and I am your host for the day. Today, I am interviewing Vivian, aka Kitty Jaramillo, a candidate for Fulton City Council's District 4. She was the first non-sworn bilingual employee for the Fulton Police Department. Kitty then worked in code enforcement. Kitty has worked with multiple nonprofits, including Pathways of Hope, the Museum of Teaching and Learning, Meals on Wheels, West Fullerton Little League, Fullerton Ranger Soccer, and FUHS Boosters. Kitty has served on numerous city commissions, including Fulton's Homeless Task Force and Community Block Grant and Development Committee. Kitty is running for District 4, the most crowded city council race of Fulton this election cycle. Voters will be choosing between her, Linda Whitaker, Scott Markowitz, and Jimmy Valencia, none of whom will be interviewing for this podcast, either for reasons that they are too busy or they did not respond to our email. Kitty, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So tell me a little bit about yourself, your personal story, your bio that has led you to run for this office.
I was born and raised in the here in Fullerton. I grew up in the Maple area. I attended Maple School after they when I ended the sixth grade. It was when they closed down Maple for a little bit over 20 years for because of segregation. A lot of my friends that were a year or two behind me all got bussed out to five different schools here in Fullerton, a sad situation. And I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Wilshire Junior High after that. There was a Wilshire back then when I went to junior high. So then I started working. I got married. I've been married for 50 years. I started working for the city of Fullerton in 1980. I was there for 17 years. But while I was at Fullerton, I couldn't really be an activist. I couldn't use my voice to speak for the community or anything like that because I was an employee. It was a frowned upon back then. Now it's okay to do that. So things have changed over the years. But then I went to work for the city of Santa Ana. And I retired out of the city of Santa Ana. I worked in community preservation. That was their code enforcement department was called community preservation. And I worked there for another 16 years and retired. And that was when I went to work for the city of Santa Ana, which was in 98, I could become involved now in the city of Fullerton, which is something I always wanted to do. I've always lived on the south side of Fullerton. First in the Maple community and now in Southwest. And it's just what I've done all these years is fight for the south side of town because we've lacked representation out here for many, many years, especially in Southwest Fullerton. So this is my reason for running.
What an impressive journey. And, you know, I'm really glad that you explained that. You, especially the Maple School shutting down, that is, I think, a story a lot of people don't know about Fullerton. But really, I think the experiences that you've had so far allowing you to run for this race and then also encouraging you to do so because you've seen the kind of impact that, you know, local government has on our community, right?
That's right, of course. And now I can, once I win, I can really have a voice. I can make decisions. And that's very important to me it'll be important to everybody.
Right. And that is a perfect transition to my next question, which is what are your three top priorities if you win this election cycle?
Well, my top priorities, everybody's going to agree with, of course. But, you know, the most I hear, because I'm already knocking on doors. Talking to people, canvassing my district. And the most I hear is about our streets and sidewalks. So what I want to do is concentrate on safe streets and sidewalks. People are falling with lifted sidewalks, you know, city trees have caused. A lot of easy fixes to fix those things. Streets, another that's another story, because that takes some revenue. And of course, everybody knows that we're low on revenue. My second item would be affordable housing and tackling homelessness. I think Fullerton is doing a pretty good job right now, better than ever, regarding homelessness and the housing we currently have for them. So I understand that the Illumination is not always full. So I know we have some room for more, but I know it's hard because some just don't want to go into a housing. So that's going to be a continuous issue, I think, for our city. But hopefully we can bring it down to an acceptable level. And of course, economic development is a big issue for our city because we have to bring in revenue to retain great employees and hire great employees. So that's something that really we have to pay attention to and really work on.
Right. Thank you for sharing that. So economic development, homelessness, and, you know, the never ending issue of Fullerton's roads. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are the top three priorities. And if I may ask, since you said you have already been walking, what is kind of the general understanding of how people, you know, in these conversations, are people saying that they reach out to their city council members to complain about these issues, or are they kind of more on the hopeless side, or do they not know how to get involved? What is your general sense in those conversations?
Well, honestly, all three. I've heard all three. So, you know, I mean, you know, it's intimidating. Even I get nervous to call or to go up and speak in public comments, and I've done it a million times. So I can imagine just your average resident that wants to talk about an issue maybe they're having, how hard that is to go up there and speak about it. And then if they don't get any attention paid to it, that's even worse. So, or no feedback from council or city employees or whoever it may be that they call. So, I think it's kind of all of the above is what I'm hearing out there.
Right. And, you know, as someone who does cover city council, and public comments is something that's always fascinating to cover because people will come up and share that they have all these concerns, but they're not being heard. And that seems to be kind of a recurring theme as well. So it is something that the public comments are there for the public to get involved and voice their opinions. But when a reoccurring complaint is that their opinions are not being heard, then I think that also speaks to like a bigger, more of a systematic issue that exists in the city.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, why are you going to go again?
Right.
If you aren't heard the first time, it, you know, can be a vicious cycle.
Absolutely. And that, I think, leads to some of the hopelessness that you are encountering as well, mm-hmm. is then people, they just stop coming and they don't know who else to talk to.
Exactly.
So I now want to get to a few, you know, kind of specific questions about things that have happened in Fullerton, starting with something pretty tragic, you know, because many Fullertonians, you know, they lack faith and trust in our police as a result of the killings that have happened. From, you know, Kelly Thomas's murder 13 years ago to Alejandro Campos Rios's murder just this year. Do you have faith in the current police chief's ability to change this culture and policy of that department? You know, what are your thoughts on what's been going on with the police department?
Well, I think we have to give the new chief, because he's brand new, we have to give him some time. He's a nice guy. You know, he's been around a long time. But he's never been totally in charge. Now he's in charge. So now is a time that we need to see, you know, some changes, some visible changes. In my opinion, I did work there for 7 years. My first 7 years, I worked for the police department. And, you know, like any company, you have your excellent, great police officers. And then you have that little handful that are not. So all we're really talking about is a handful. We're not going to disparage the entire police department. And, you know, I would never do that. Never. Every business, and it is a business, suffers with that. But it's, you know, it's going to take more supervision. It's going to take just more discipline. And those are the things. And I know the attention that has to be paid to a not so great employee is time consuming. It's hard. So I understand the difficulty of it, but it has to be done. Another thing I want to say regarding the police department, you know, I feel and I've seen that they're on the right track with training. I like the cross training they're doing and learning from social workers. I think that's where some of these problems have stemmed from. I think they need more training. I don't know firsthand on de-escalating a combative situations. And, you know, we all have to agree that they're constantly in combative situations or with combative people, probably on an everyday basis. I've seen all of that firsthand. So I know it's not easy. It's not an easy job. But their firearm, they need some training that their firearm is not going to be the first weapon of choice. They have several other weapons to use prior to pulling their weapon out. So that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to, you know, dig deeper with the police department when I win.
Absolutely. So another issue that kind of comes up is, you know, the city government's budget. And a huge obligation for the budget are, you know, these are pensions. And many cities, because of these and many other reasons, end up outsourcing staff and their services. So what is your position on that trend? And do you think there are cost savings there? And also kind of how the Fullerton City handles employment and also pay?
Well, you know, pay is bad, first of all. So I'll start off with that. But, you know, I'm lucky to have a pension, you know, from both the city of Fullerton and the city of Santa Ana. Although, you know, we have to admit my Santa Ana pension is much larger than the city of Fullerton's, you know. So I'm going to be a little bit biased on the pension. I don't know why it's always such a huge issue. Numerous companies have pension plans, but yet cities are always called on the carpet regarding pensions. I don't know why we don't deserve, as you know, we pick public service as our career, and then we're knocked down because we have a pension. I just don't understand it. But I just know it's always an issue, and I guess maybe because we get paid by taxes, I don't understand. But anyways, I would just reiterate about public service. All of the jobs within the city, whether you work in the maintenance services, in public works, in engineering, police department, fire, they're all difficult in their own degree. You know, so, you know, if you're going to devote yourself, that's what I want. You know, I would want a city employee, no matter what position you hold, to be devoted. And you know, I feel like probably most of them are. Again, we're talking about the handful that are not. But those ones need some extra attention on supervision, I think. The good ones, you don't have to watch over so much. But yeah, I think the pension, I feel like it's just something that people always want to knock down a city for their pensions. I just don't understand it. Nobody knocks down McDonnell Douglas or, Hughes or anybody with big pensions. Also, nobody says anything about that. So for me, it's not an issue.
All right. Thank you for explaining that so well. So
plus, let me say this, because I forgot to say this. You know, Fullerton, also, our pension is derived or calculated on our pay. Mm-hmm. And Fullerton is one of the lowest paid cities in Orange County. So to be still griping about pensions in Fullerton is beyond me. It's really beyond me. That's all I have to say.
All right. So moving on to our next topic that is recently come up a lot in city council, especially since June or July, I believe, both in public comments and also there's been a group that has formed. It's really about the walk on Wilshire and having pedestrianized areas in downtown Fullerton. So the walk on Wilshire went up for context during the pandemic to provide businesses outdoor seating, provide, you know, customers outdoor seating so they can go ahead and still support the businesses. They need to provide that extra dining space so people can safely eat. And then that got extended and extended. And now the city wants to honor its original agreement and end that and return it to being a road for cars. However, a group called, I believe it's called Support Walk on Wilshire or Save Walk on Wilshire, they have come up and they are advocating that this actually becomes permanent and becomes the Wilshire Promenade, kind of similar to how Laguna Beach has done it. And, you know, many other cities have promenades in their downtowns that are just for walking and just for dining. So, you know, what are your thoughts on first the walk on Wilshire Promenade? And then are you in favor or not of expanding this type of open space in the city, whether it be in downtown or beyond?
Well, you know, I think that anything that's going to modernize our city and bring businesses and bring business to our city is a good thing, isn't it? Isn't that what we all want as employees and as residents here? You know, and we see many, many cities going to these types of outdoor dining, outdoor seating. As long as the business is thriving, I don't understand the issue. Because, you know, for those walks, you know, we know residents like it. We know that. But do businesses like it? And if they do, or the majority do, I think we need to listen to them.
Right. So it seems like through some of the petitions and a lot of the statements, it seems like majority of the businesses do like walk on the Wilshire, and so do majority of residents. There's been very, very few people who have come out against it. So would you then support keeping walk on Wilshire if this somehow happens to be an issue that is still in council by the time you are potentially elected?
Well, if I end up seeing evidence that it's profitable for businesses, they're thriving along mm-hmm. with, I already know residents like it. I like it. You know, I like when I go down there, you know, because we don't have many areas in Fullerton that we could do something like that. You know, right. We're so tight. There's just no space to do things like that. So, you know, if businesses are on board, sure. I mean, why would I go against businesses? I don't understand that.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I kind of want to go back to the idea of city employment and have a couple of questions regarding that again. So are you in favor of, and for context for the listeners, this has kind of come up in city council meetings as well as just discussions around it, is increasing city staff and then also kind of increasing pay, because we kind of noticed this trend of city employees, as you already said, our pay tends to be the lowest or very low, so they can't necessarily, you know, afford houses. And this kind of goes to Fullerton teachers as well and other workers. So how do you think you would address that issue of both pay and then making sure that that pay allows them to live in the city, afford their housing, afford other services?
Well, we have to work on the revenue source for the city of Fullerton is, you know, first and foremost. I mean, on The other issues we talked about bringing business in here. That's the only way a city can thrive, you know, is to have money coming in order to, you know, to resource this kind of stuff. I feel like we used to have programs in the past. I mean, I don't feel I know that we have done this in the past and offered help or assistance to city employees for, I remember they did it for Cal State Fullerton teachers up there by the Elks Lodge. And, you know, these kinds of programs, I think, need to be researched, because if you're a city resident and a city worker, you just love your city even more and you love your job even more. So you're more devoted. You're a better city worker. You're a better teacher if you're local. All of those things all come into play. And I believe in that. But we just have to figure out a way to be able to sustain that, to be able to afford it, to bring it back.
Absolutely. So another kind of major issue with city council, and I think this is more also on the controversial side as well, is how mayor rotation has happened in the past few years, you know, skipping over certain council members and kind of keeping that mayor pro tem holds among the same 2 to 3 people. What do you think of this kind of a mayor rotation cycle? And if you are elected, would you change it or would you kind of keep it similar?
Oh, no, definitely we would change it. I'll tell you a funny little story. I go to the YMCA for water aerobics, and a couple of ladies there that I don't even know that live in North Fullerton stopped me because they knew, they heard through the water that I was running for city council. So when this happened again, they asked me about it because they were appalled that this has happened. You know, I did tell them that it's happened in the past with women on our city council, because usually there's only one woman, if we have a woman on there. And it has happened just for a woman too, But no, you know, they created the statement that it's on their integrity, that they be fair. The rotation is on their honor to be fair. Well, some, you know, aren't showing any integrity or honor to be passing that ball back and forth amongst themselves. How awful is that? How awful is that? That appalled a lot of people, and they couldn't believe that we didn't have something in place that already states how the rotation works. And I said, well, I don't even know if other cities have something in place. Maybe they do. I've never done the research, but nobody was happy. No matter what district you live in here in Fullerton, nobody was happy with that. It was ugly.
Right. And it really is the skipping of women and certain minorities.
Yes.
on the diet. Mm-hmm. You know, that creates issues with both district representation, but also general representation that's on our council, because you can get on the council, but if you never in years of service end up getting either mayor or mayor pro tem positions, then that says a lot about, again, the kind of systematic issue of how power is being distributed.
Exactly. And to me, that is so ugly that power can go to somebody's head like that. I mean, it's disgusting.
So I want to move into another issue that is similar and has come up recently as well. So, you know, for context, one of the city council's members' direct powers is appointing residents to serve on the various city commissions. And often some people end up getting appointed to kind of all of the commissions. So how would you ensure representation for our city's advisory commission?
Well, you know, I would reach out to the community. I think they do that, but I think there has to be more outreach. Fullerton has never been very good at outreach, I got to say, for many, many years. And I think that is the key to real outreach, because if you don't get people in line that are willing to serve and or even try to talk them into serving, you know, then you go with what somebody throws at you because you don't have anybody better to bring in. So this is something that we all have to work on, is more outreach, especially reaching out to all the different nonprofits, the different communities they work in, and getting a diversity on a lot of these committees. I remember for many, many years, I was the only Hispanic back in the day that served on any of these committees, any of the committees I served on, the only Hispanic for many, many years. And, you know, so it's been going on a long time and it needs to change. It's getting a little bit better, though, I got to say. It's not there yet, but it's getting a little bit better.
And, you know, the communication issue that you talked about has also recently come up because the city is struggling to hire for certain departments, is struggling to get, you know, more applications for the same commissions that we're talking about.
Right.
And it seems to be definitely an outreach problem. And, you know, that actually ties into my next question, which is a community outreach question, because of COVID and various other reasons, so many people have really disconnected from our local community in Fullerton here. You know, people may show up to kind of the big events that are happening, but for the most part, the people that they show up to local government meetings or some of the smaller events or even to farmers market, that's a very, very small crowd. So there is this disconnect that I think everyone feels in the community. So if you are elected, you know, how do you plan to meet with your constituents, be available, connect to them as a city council member, but also as a fellow resident?
Well, you know, I would concentrate on District 4 for that for right now, simply because there's not very much representation out here. And I would reach out to them. I would come to them. We would meet out here locally, you know, nearby. I would contact. I already have a relationship with St. Philip's and their congregation there and OC United out here at Gilbert Park. And those are all where you can connect at those venues. You connect with a lot of people out in Southwest Fullerton. So that would be, I already have that in mind that when I win, I'm supposed to say that, you know, because I'm running. When I win, that's what I'll try to do, is get a venue out here close by in my direct community so that they can, making it easier for them to come and talk with me, to meet with me. And I can explain the things they could do to help out their community, to have a voice on some of these committees and explain what the committees do. Because I'm sure it's very unfamiliar to so many people. And anyway, that would be what I would do first for Southwest Fullerton.
Right. And as you say, it is very unfamiliar for people. It is hard to get involved. It is hard to even know what's a good beginner step to take. So my next question really is, you know, for young people specifically, say you have students, high school, community college students who want to get involved, you know, even recent grads in local government who want to represent their communities, represent themselves, but they just don't have any idea on how to do that. Someone like you who has such a long career in public service and the community, what are some like tangible steps, you know, our young folks, our young Fullertonians can take to get more involved in their community in this election cycle and also beyond?
Well, you know, I remember, when I worked for the police department, I worked for community services. So I did a lot of school programs and going to all the different schools. And of course, I didn't go to high schools because that was the DARE program had been implemented. And the officers were working there at all the schools for the DARE program. And but I feel like we could, as council representatives, go to the high schools and talk, you know, just in their, if they even have civics class anymore, or maybe even their homeroom when that, you know, some location during their schedule where the group is there at least one time all together, you know, because then after that, they're dispersed to all different classes. But to go and talk with them, I don't even know if that's done or I've ever heard that anybody's done that. But that has crossed my mind because I knew that they couldn't get people on the young advisory committee. They couldn't get enough also for that or the senior. So I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, old and young are really not being reached. And we got to put more thought and effort into really reaching them and explaining what they can do. If, you know, if they're interested, of course, you can't force anybody to do it, but there'll be one or two that are interested. I guarantee that, you know, and you're tagging them kind of young, but in high school, I would say that should start. And of course, college. And I just got endorsed by the Orange County young Dems. You know, they're also out there beating the pavement and, you know, I could tell them, hey, we need more young, people at, I think a lot of them go to Cal State Fullerton and other colleges, more young people here from Fullerton that are going to get involved, you know, so there's places we can do outreach. I just don't know if it's being done.
Well, you know, from personal experience, I can tell you that it's not really being done. I went to Fullerton Union High School and I went to Fullerton College. And, you know, in our AP Gov classes or even the regular Gov classes, there was never really a guest speaker from, at least what I can remember, this was a few years ago, that was from the city or really anywhere else. The only time, and this was only because I was a political science major at Fullerton College, I actually met and communicated with representatives. It was actually Josh Newman who came and spoke to our class and a few other folks who came and spoke to our class. It was Jody Bellman's class. So that's, you know, the string Jody Bellman that ties all of us to our local government. But also, you know, she assigns us projects to go to city council or some sort of a government meeting. So I think, you know, it is unfortunate that no one else really does this except for, say, for one or two professors, but that's not nearly enough. Right. And definitely from the city, the city is not doing as nearly as much outreach as it should. And this is coming entirely from a student perspective. Like, I didn't even know what was what when I was in high school, even though I had taken AP Gov, which is supposed to teach you a lot more. But I didn't know that much. It wasn't really until I started attending these meetings myself that I actually got to know who is a representative, what really the city council does. And that came, you know, kind of later in college. So it is a big issue and it is a big disconnect. So you're right, that outreach really isn't being done.
Yeah. I know. And it's been a continual problem for different things, no matter what the subject may be. It's I don't know why they can't. With social media now, I feel like it's that much easier to put out this stuff, you know, and to put an ad in your paper and to put it on social media and reach, you know, and reach a bigger audience than we've ever been able to reach before.
Absolutely. And, you know, social media is one of those tools that you can use if used smartly enough. I think just posting or even posting consistently doesn't really do much if you're not necessarily using the algorithm to your advantage in reaching people and reaching the audience really that you want to reach. And then same kind of goes with our paper, the Fullerton Observer, right? We have audiences, we have our digital website, we have our print paper, and those kind of serve you know, slightly different audiences. And I think really it's all about building a toolkit of outreach that uses all of the above, right? That uses social media, that uses your local publications, that utilizes the Daily Titan, the Hornet, the Tribune, all of these publications that we have. And then also the in-person outreach. There's nothing, honestly, that quite matches when I personally see a city council person. That's not going to match really anything that I see beyond that either. So I think really it has to be tackled from, I mean, this is also, you know, some of my personal opinions. It has to be tackled from a lot of not just one thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's not just one. There's not just one fix.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, the next question is actually kind of a fun one. We ask all of our guests to give our listeners a book recommendation.
I thought long and hard about this because I read crazy books. I don't read anything, educational. I just put anything by Sandra Brown. They're scary, suspenseful. I love that kind of stuff. Detective work, police work. That's the kind of things I like. So, any book by Sandra Brown is great.
I think actually detective work, police work can be so educational too in reading, because you look at all these different details, right? And uh-huh. uncover. I actually would say that these are, I think anything fictional is very, very educational. And really there are all these studies too that show that people who read more fiction can be more empathetic. So,
I'm going to tell my husband that.
Okay. So thank you for that book recommendation, really anything by Sandra Brown.
Yeah.
To kind of close off the conversation for today, is there anything else that I haven't mentioned that you want to talk about and make sure our listeners know?
I just want to reiterate about District 4 because, I am running in District 4 and it's been neglected for over 20 years. District 4 looks the same as it looked when I moved in here young, married, so we need a lot of work out here. We need a lot of help. We need some development, some money to come out here. And, it's just been a shame that we've been a forgotten part of Fullerton totally. And, I plan on tackling that. I plan on changing that. And I have the support of so many people that in all other districts that are helping me with my campaign and just believe in our campaign. And every weekend they're here. And during the week, they're helping me. I mean, I just can't thank everybody enough. And everybody that's endorsed me, I mean, it's been beautiful. This run for me, it's been a beautiful experience. So I just want to thank everybody.
I want to thank you for being on this podcast as well. I know it's hard running your campaign and also taking out time for such interviews. So I appreciate you being here with us today.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So that was Slice of Orange NOC's interview with Kitty Jaramillo. For more episodes, please check out Slice of Orange NOC on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We are also on Facebook and Instagram, so be sure to follow us there.